Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Greetings from Canvas, from this building into your house. We say God bless you. We love you. We miss you. All everybody that is congregating online. And we just want to say God bless you. So I want to thank Pastor Ben, Pastor Katie for inviting me in the ELT. Invited me to preach this morning. So I want to begin with a prayer, and then we can jump into the word. Would you join me in prayer, please? Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are a good God. You're an amazing God, and we love you. Thank you for dying on a cross for us. Thank you for giving your son to give us new life, to give us everlasting life. Lord, we thank you for the book of Ephesians, God. God, help me now, Lord. Holy Spirit, create an atmosphere of your love. And your presence will just come into homes, into every life, so they can discover your love. They can discover your plan, Lord. They can run with it. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, just be with us. Help me to speak. In Jesus' mighty name, help everybody not to fall asleep. And everybody says, amen. I want to talk to you this morning on Ephesians chapter 4 on the title, Walking in Humility. We've been speaking for the last month in the series, Clean Canvas. We've been speaking on chapter 1 of Ephesians, chapter 2, and chapter 3. And pretty much what the Bible is talking about there, it connects with Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read it to you. Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles with you, let's read Ephesians chapter 4. And I read the first Bible verse from the New King James Version that it says like this. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. That's the only verse we're going to read in that translation. And we're going to jump into the NLT now. So you see a little difference what I'm talking about here. And New King James is talking about walking according to the calling of God. What the New King James is saying is we have a call to walk according to the will of God. So the NLT is saying, therefore, I, prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead. It changes here, but I want you to stand in your mind, walking according or worthy of your calling. Therefore, I, prisoner for the servant of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. For there's one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope of future. Like I was saying in the beginning, Paul started talking about saying, I, therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. The word beseech you in the translation that we read, the NLT, says, I beg you. I beg you, and I believe the Holy Spirit is talking through Paul and saying to us, I beg you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Walk worthy of the calling which you were called. And the other version says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Something that we need to understand is that in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, the Bible is talking about how great God is, how gracious He is, the plan that He has for us. He is an amazing God. Paul is just saying, God, you know, it's able. We closed last Sunday. What a great message by Pastor Katie saying that He is able. He's able to help us. He's able to reach for us. If we don't stay stuck in obstacles, but we reach out and we can have a heavenly perspective of how God views the situation. If we can have that, how things change. But coming to chapter 4, Paul makes a shift by saying, hey, this is a great view of God. God is amazing. God is wonderful. But in chapter 4, he's saying, hey, I, prisoner of God, I beg you, I ask you to walk and lead according to the calling of God of your life. If, and just in a side note, if you're ever asking yourself, what's the calling of God in my life? One of the things that I can suggest to you, and you ask, what's the will of God for me? What's the calling of God for me? Listen, what Paul says here. He says, I ask you and I beg you to live worthy of the calling that you have been called by God. And he's telling us right now what's the key. He says, always, always be humble and gentle. I want to stick with the word humble because that's the first word that comes out of Paul's lips. He says, be humble. Be humble. And be patient with each other, making allowances for each other faults because of love. He's saying, be humble. Why? Because if you keep on reading, as we were reading, and the last part of Ephesians 4, 1 to 6, the goal that Paul is talking about, he's saying, I'm prisoner, and I beg you to be humble. For what? And the next verse says, so you can become one in Christ, so you can walk in unity. And then, you know, because we walk in unity, that's the goal that Paul is asking us to walk on. First, he says, be humble so you can walk in unity. And before we talk about unity, I would like to read a scripture with you. And it's fine. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. And I want to ask you to help me out on this counting. Right at home, right where you at. If there's some people here, you can help me out. Paul is making a point in 1 Corinthians 1 to 10. And I want you to help me out with this. I want you to count every time when Paul says God, Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, in him, everything that is related with God, please, I want you to count it. And I'm going to make a point off of this. Listen to this. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. How many? Christ, through the will of God. Thank you, Jared. He's and Sosthenes, or brother, to the church of God, which is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't know how many we have so far, but I'm thinking it's 7 or 8. Both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. There's some more. I thank my God. You got it, Jared? I thank my God always concerning you to the grace of God which has given you to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you will come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. I don't know how many we got so far, but I'm thinking 15, 16. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how many times you got it, Jared? How many times you got it there? We got 21 times Paul saying, God, I beg you, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. For one thing, he's going to make his point right now, and he's saying it. I ask you all this. Listen to me. It says, God is faithful by whom we were called by Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I plead to you. He used the word, I beg you again there. He's begging us in Ephesians chapter 4 to be, to call worthy of the calling. He says, I beg you to walk humbly. But now he's saying us, I beg you, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord. He says again, Jesus Christ. That's another 22 times. Yes, by saying this, that you will all speak the same thing. And say it with me, that's unity. They will all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. That's unity. But that you will be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's unity. The NIV calls it to be in one mind and one thought, united. What Paul is talking about here, he's through the Holy Spirit is saying, church, come on. I want you to be humble so we can meet a goal, so we can walk in unity. Why does the Lord really wants us to walk in unity? Are there any benefit walking in unity? It's just the Lord is just asking us just to walk in unity just because he wants us to walk in unity. And talking about our unity, you know, there's a lot of benefits on walking in unity. I don't know how many of you guys love benefits, but I'm sure, you know, my wife likes those benefits and, you know, that coupon, the specials when you sign to some, you know, whatever you sign in and that you get benefits. You like good benefits in your job. We all like benefits. If we're going to start in unity, sometimes we are like, what am I going to get out of it? I don't know if you think about that, but sometimes we think about that. What's the only reason that we follow Christ? Because we're going to go to hell? No. Because the benefit of following Jesus Christ is that we're going to go to heaven. So I want to talk to you real short and in a few moments. What is the benefit of walking in unity? Are you with me there? Amen. And John chapter 17, 22 to 23 talks about one of the benefits of walking in unity. The Bible says, I have given you them glory. Another version says, I have given them the power that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them, and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, than even as you have loved me. What the Bible is saying here, saying you're going to have, I give you such a power of unity. I have sent the Holy Spirit to put you together for only for one reason. If you walk in that unity, listen to what this is what the Bible is saying. If you walk in unity, it says that the world, people that do not know the Lord, will walk in. And guess he's going to feel and sense so much unity in the church, so much unity in your house, so much unity in yourself of God, that once he walks in, he's going to, the first thing he's going to say, he say, they're going to know that you were sent to this world, that Jesus was sent to this world. Through revelation, they're going to know that. And the second thing, the benefit of being in unity, is that they're going to realize, says the Lord loved me. The Father loves me the way the Father loves Jesus. Let me repeat it again if you missed it. It says, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me them even as you have loved me. That's one of the benefits to stay in unity, church. Stay in unity at home. Stay in unity at work. People will see us and be convicted because of the unity we carry in our hearts. The second one, the benefit is this one. And you like this one. You heard this one before. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. And what? In unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard. The beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew on Hermon, like the rain, the Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. Look at the benefits. For the Lord will command blessings and life forevermore. Another verse is saying, for God is going to give you an everlasting life. If I just stay in unity and harmony with brothers and sisters in Christ, speaking one thing, having one mind in our hearts, the Lord promised to give you his blessings. How many of you guys want the blessings of the Lord? I want the blessings of the Lord. Not just me, but for my wife, for my kids, for my grandsons. Lord willing, I'll have some grandsons. I want it for everybody at home. Even if I ever get a puppy, I want blessings for all the household. And the third one is that I am the vine. It says John 15, the 5a. Listen to this one. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you remain, if you stay in unity, what he's saying, you're going to bear a lot of fruit. I want to bear a lot of fruit. I want to bear the fruits of the Spirit. I want to be patient. I want to be full of love. I want all the fruits. Apart from me, says the Lord, you cannot do anything. That's the problem. If you start losing unity, we cannot do anything. We walk away from the Lord. We can't do anything. But if you remain in me, unity, come on. You're like the branch that is thrown away in winters. Such a branch is are picked up, thrown into the fire, and be burned. Okay, let's move on to the next one. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done. What he's saying is here, if you stay in unity and you seek that unity in mind and spirit and walk humble, he says, ask anything and it will be done. I love this. We all look for prayers to be answered, but if we would stay in unity, that helps a lot. And this is for my Father's glory, that you will bear fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. Somebody say it over there in your house. Amen. But that's the beauty of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 10. That the Holy Spirit is asking us to walk in unity, to be in unity. And one mind, he repeated 22 times the name of God and saying, stay in one heart. The Bible talks about also, we read some benefits of being in unity. But in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is saying, if you want to remain in unity, he's asking us something before that, is to be walking humbly according to our call. So what is it to be walking humbly? Is it an easy thing to walk humble? Is it something that you can do easily? Is it easy? You know, I asked my dad when he was alive. Now he's with the Lord. But talking about humility, I remember when I first came to the Lord and I asked him, the reason that I asked him, because he was an alcoholic, but later on, he did so many years of sobriety. And I asked him, Lord, I said, Dad, because you have done 30 years without falling back into alcoholism, I said, what does it mean, the word humble, to you? What would you say? And I was shocked by what my dad says. Humble for me, he said, is obedience. Someone that is obedient is equals to humble. Someone that is humble, it really, you know, speaks about his humility. And there's many people that we can learn humility here, you know, Van Krop. I was thinking of you when I was preparing this message, and also I was thinking of you too. But, you know, my dad said obedience. And you know what? He says, I obey, and I ask myself, I'm not going to go back to drink anymore because I love you, he said. Because I care for the family, I want to stay obedient. Well, the word obedience is not an easy word either. Humble and obedience. Humble to stay under the mighty hand of God. Peter make a point right there. He says, First Peter 5:16, he say, humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you in a due time. If you humble yourself, he will exalt you. If you humble yourself in obedience, he will exalt you, he will honor you, he will protect you, he'll be with you. When you humble yourself, you call God's attention on you. So when we talk about humble and being obedient, it's not to be walking in our pride. It's not to be walking in disobedience. And sometimes 90.9 obedience is not. 90.9 obedience is disobedience. 90.9 obedience is disobedience. Why? Because there's things that will happen in our life that we decide to say, oh, yeah, it says in the Bible like this, but I think I can do better than that. Well, that's disobedience. That's walking in pride. That's walking in ego. The opposite of humbleness and obedience, it's ego. It's pride. And you know what? You can hear thousands of messages about being humble and obedient. But what will you put it to practice? Will you learn to be humble and obedient? Will be in the trials. Trials and tribulations will teach you how to humble and how to obey. I remember passing these few months, first days of the pandemic in Spanish, there were stuff that was happening in my body that I didn't understand. There was thoughts and there was like depression and anxiety and thoughts that never wanted to be in my mind. Just a bottle. It was I lost sleep a few of the days, and I was struggling. And I remember the scriptures, and I remember the promises. But the pressure of the trial, it was so hard that I almost threw away the towel. It was so hard until the word was revealed to me saying, hey, Miguel, be still. And you know what? That takes humbleness to listen to the voice of God through tribulations and to be obedient until the Lord right in that moment. What did I do? I didn't worry anymore. I say, God, you're the God of my salvation. You know, you give, you take, be your name, be blessed. And I stay with it. So that brings me right now to just make my last 2 points of what I'm talking about. How to walk in humility. And number one will be learn from Jesus. Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. For I am gentle and humble in the heart. You know what? Humble comes from the heart. And what a better way to learn from them, to learn it from Jesus. It comes to mind what the scripture says, that he was being bitten by somebody. And I'm thinking that he was blindfold, because as he was bitten, they were asking him, prophesy, who's hitting you? That's what the Bible says. And I'm sure that he could have prophesied who was his mother, his grandmother, and if he's going to have a future kids, because he had the power for doing that. But you know what? He stayed muted. He didn't speak at all. He stayed quiet into the cross. Why? Because he had a purpose, and he had something to accomplish for us and the cross of Calvary. We can learn from him. And there's a side note here that I wrote. Listen, it says, he didn't let his mouth or actions get in the way of his purpose. If he would have said something right there, if he would have just said, you know what, I am God, or defending himself, he humbled himself. He trusts on his Father. He didn't open his mouth. Can you imagine that happening to us? If we had the power of Jesus being God, and you know, 100% God, 100% in the flesh, man, if someone would have beaten me, I would have called those angels right away. And, you know, and get rid of those people. But he humbled himself. Why? Because he had a purpose. And I'm wondering sometimes, if we don't learn from Jesus, sometimes if we only humble ourselves and don't defend ourselves, just rely and seek Jesus and learn from him to be humble, we can avoid so many problems. And my point number two, to close down, will be this one. Number two says, keep unity in the Spirit. Keep the unity in the Spirit. Ephesians 4:3 says it like this. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort to keep the unity. What the Bible is saying here, it's sometimes sin can get in the way. If we don't keep the unity in the Spirit, things is going to come in our way and take us away from the unity. It's either sin, it can be an addiction, it can be a weakness that we may be fighting. But the Lord is saying, keep an effort on it. Keep an effort to keep that unity in the Spirit. God has given us the power to stay in unity. Just keep the effort. If you need to change, if you need to ask somebody for help, man, keep the effort of making things different in your life. So sin will try to break your unity. And just to close down, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever experienced injustice? Have you ever experienced injustice? I don't know about you, but I have many, many years ago, because of the gospel, because of my color, because of any other situations, I have received injustice. And you know what have helped me through the scriptures? It's just to think about the life of David when he was mistreated by his own leader. When he was mistreated by his own Lord, that he called Saul his Lord. He was ministering to him. He was helping this guy. And by the way, he was helping him, Saul was trying to kill him. Saul was trying to kill him. And what he was doing, he was throwing, was it a lanzas? He was throwing spears against David. And the only thing he was doing, he kept on singing. You know, he maintained the unity between him and God. He let God take revenge of his enemies. It reminds me also of Job when the Lord and when the enemy came and took his sons and his property, and his whole body was full of leprosy. And all that Job says, he didn't say nothing bad about God. He didn't pronounce any profanity. All he said was, God gave, God took away, be the name of the Lord, be blessed. And one of the ways to keep unity is just to keep on blessing God, keep on believing the Lord, and just remember the words of what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. I, prisoner of the Lord Christ, I beg you to walk worthy of the calling by walking humble. I will invite you to close your eyes where you at right now this morning, and I will ask you, have everything gotten your way to take you away from unity? What it has come to your life has challenged you, that maybe you lost humbleness and you lost obedience and you felt like you needed to walk away. You felt in a way somehow that the Lord was not there with you. There's anything happening lately in your heart during this pandemic? How's your heart? How's your life? Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for this moment. I thank you for every household, for everybody that is seeing us through the media. Lord, I pray for their lives. Lord, I pray they will learn to walk in a humble way so they can enjoy, Lord, unity on you, Lord, so the benefits will just come, and they will be blessed, they will be prosper, Lord. And as they walk in unity, Lord, they can feel peace at home, they can feel peace at work. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. So if you never know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and you would like to invite him to your heart, I will ask you to pray with me and say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Forgive my sins. Wash me completely of my mistakes and of my sins. And I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. So I declare I am clean. I am forgiven. I'm walking in humility. I will walk in unity in your precious mighty name. Amen. Just to close for the third time, I was thinking of a cup of coffee that everybody drinks in the morning. I was thinking to hold a cup according to this message and just have a cup of humility every morning. Just to drink it. Once you drink that cup of humility, that will leave you a taste in your mouth. Not a taste of coffee or tea, but it'll leave you a taste of unity. Once you seek the Lord and you walk humbly, you can taste unity in your life, and you mean you will enjoy it. So God bless you. Thank you for receiving us in your home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.